Got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. The Sunday, January 3rd, 2016. You know, we're only a couple of days into the new year, and things are really exploding quickly. Of course, we have the situation with the developing standoff in Oregon, some of the Bundy brothers, as well as some militia members. We're going to talk about that specifically. Alex Jones is going to join us with a report that he put up on the web earlier today. We're going to play that for you in the next section. And then I'm also going to break down really what the background is of this. And I'm not talking about just the case. We're going to talk about that particular case because this is something that affects a lot of people. This isn't just something that is about that particular family in Oregon, or even ranchers and people who are struggling with the BLM. This tells us where the government is going to be going with bogus charges of terrorism. This is an outrageous case, what they have done to the Hammonds. But it's also very sad to see the people in that area essentially develop a mentality that they don't want to stand up and do something about it. It's also disturbing to see that I think some of the people there at the area, I think, are making a very important tactical and strategic blunder in taking over this facility that's out there. So we're going to talk about what's happened about this particular family. If you don't know about the Hammonds, you're going to be seeing a lot more about them. Of course, it's been at the top of the Drudge Report. Mainstream media is getting on this, and we want to give you the real background of what's going on with this, what's really going on with our out-of-control federal agencies. And it's not just the BLM. I wish it was just one agency. It's also the EPA and many others. It has to do with Agenda 21. It has to do with the Agenda 2030. They've now taken Agenda 21 and they've made it much more specific, given it a time deadline. So we're going to talk about that as well. And I want to talk about something that could have been done to defuse this in the early parts of this. I think that what is happening to this family, having been convicted on arson and terrorism charges, is just absolutely amazing to me. There clearly was no terrorism intent. They were doing the sorts of things that ranchers do to manage the land. Of course, the BLM doesn't manage. They are just in the business, evidently, lately, of just stealing land. And so that's what we really need to talk about, is the background constitutionally of what's going on with it. We're also going to talk after the report about the what we saw with this new year. Of course, just looking at Times Square, think about the fact there were 6,000 cops. There were checkpoints, snipers, canines. Also, people could get into their little cages and watch a ball drop in Times Square. That's how deeply in trouble we are. We look at a report breaking that down. Also, the new FAA rules went into effect, and as people got their little half-pound drones, their toy drones, they rushed to register these with the government because they demanded that you register this online or be submitted to a fine of $27,500 just for not registering it. Not that you had to do anything with it. Not that you had to fly it at an airplane or fly it too close to an airport. No, you didn't have to have criminal intent. They said it was going to be a civil fine. Where have we heard that lie before from the federal government? Civil asset forfeiture. We have allowed these types of things to come at us from the drug war especially, but now it's moving into all different aspects, all of these different federal bureaucracies, which operate as little fiefdoms, as little empires. They operate with criminal immunity. Remember when you had the gold mine that exploded this back in August? It was done by the EPA. They were working on this gold mine. They were told in advance what they were doing was going to cause an explosion by a retired mining engineer. He put it in the local paper, and he said, yeah, but I think you guys know that, don't you? You really want this to explode so that you can do what you want to do in terms of expanding your programs, expanding your footprint in this area. And clearly it did. It polluted with toxic metals the river that flows through three different states and an Indian reservation. Devastating environmental situation. Did anybody go to jail? Did anybody answer for it? No. But when farmers have a very small backfire to protect themselves against a wildfire, they're charged as terrorists. And they're going to be sent, one of them, probably for a life sentence. He's old. It'll be another 5 years. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Alex Jones breaking this down.
March, the Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, January the 3rd, 2016. We have a situation that's developed in Oregon. Of course, it is turning into an armed standoff. Alex Jones is going to break this down in detail for you, but I just got some information from Joe Biggs, some trusted sources that he has in the area, some veterans there. And of course, after the failed attempt to get the sheriff to do something to protect these ranchers from having to go back to jail a second time, it looks to me like double jeopardy, but having them go back to jail a second time for arson and terrorism charges, and we're going to talk about the details of that later in the program, break that down for you, exactly what's happening there, and of course the background constitutionally there. But they then went into the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge headquarters. This is some of the protesters there, because the people in the area did not want to take a stand against the arrest of the Hammonds, the two men who are going to go back to jail. One of them is 73 years old. And if they send him back to jail for another 4 to 5 years, as these federal prosecutors want to do, he's already served time in jail for the fire. And it wasn't something that I think he should have served a day in jail for. But if he goes back, it'll probably be a life sentence. Nevertheless, after the protest march there, Clive and Bundy's three sons and about 150 militiamen have occupied the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge headquarters to protest the impending imprisonment of these two Oregon ranchers. Now, Joe Biggs just came in and told me that he's got some trusted sources that say there are armed military drones that are flying over this area at the moment. So we're going to stay tuned with updates as that develops. I want to give you Alex Jones's breakdown of what's going on right now. Here's Alex Jones.
My friends, Alex Jones here with a key report. It is 2:16 Central Standard Time. In about an hour and 45 minutes, David Knight will host the Sunday radio broadcast. I've taped special reports for it. I'm going to be getting on an airplane here in the next hour and a half to travel to Phoenix, Arizona to interview a very important individual. Part of a project I'm engaged in to try to stop a staged civil war in America. That's how hard I'm working on this. And by tomorrow, I can announce who it is I've gone and who I'm interviewing. Very influential person when it comes to all of this. Separately, I'm sending Joe Biggs and crew to a rural area of Oregon where for months, really a year, there's been the feds under Agenda 23. One, Agenda 2030, and others land grabbing and doing horrible things in the area. Most of the locals, though, have wanted the Bundys out, who we've been supporters of overall, and others. Mainly because there's other provocateurs and people that have come into the area who, while they promote land rights and stuff like this, they also then try to demonize the movement while at the same time. It's completely textbook. And I've been saying on air, look for flashpoints, look for Southern Poverty Law Center type affiliated groups to try to wind up patriot groups ahead of Obama launching his big executive order attack on the Second Amendment, on talk radio, on free speech, on the patriot movement. And the hammer drops the next few days against the Second Amendment, the timing of all of it. And then the Bundys, I looked into it, the Hammonds, who are being set up for burning some property as a firebreak, because the BLM wouldn't do it. They don't want them there. The locals have signs up everywhere. They still have a right to be there and demonstrate. And I support the Bundys. You know, that was their grazing rights. We were there. We supported them out in southern Nevada. Harry Reid came out and said these are domestic terrorists. I get the reason they've gone in armed at one level and you know, taking over this building to say we're here taking this over back for the people. Because the feds themselves are literally run by the UN and treaties. They're usurping land. So the feds act like this all the time, taking property all over the U.S., like I said earlier, on the Texas-Oklahoma Red River. People that have had homes for and property for over 100 years, they're taking it. I mean, it's free and paid for. They're just taking it, saying, you know, we're taking thousands of acres on every side of the river. I get that their actions are tyrannical. So under the Declaration of Independence, people pretty much under that document have a right to do what they're doing. I'm just questioning the timing, the fact that you're not on your own ranch, where you were since 1870-something. You're somewhere else. The locals don't want you. Now you're in a building telling armed people come there. Sounds like a recipe for a new Waco. People say, well, the feds don't want a new Waco. They may back off. Well, they may. But if they don't, people say, good, it'll start a new revolution. Well, then all you talkers that shoot your mouths off all day, I guess they're going to get what you want. Because we've been working, and countless others have been working, to stop what's happening in this corrupt government and to expose Fast and Furious and Benghazi and all these issues. We're having big effects right now. Huge effects. We're winning. I mean, I talked to high-level people just in the last 24 hours. That the entire Secret Service is awake to what's going on. That's why they're being demonized. I mean, Obama is a Muslim infiltrator, a radical Muslim infiltrator. You know, I've never said that before, but you look at all his actions, funding ISIS, Al-Qaeda, overthrowing our allies in Egypt and other places to put the radicals in. But I've talked to folks, high level, multiple. I mean, I've been getting this from Secret Service high level for a while, but now it's super high level. And just like Bongino, the former head of the Secret Service and foreign details, said, Alex, it's worse than you even say. It's so over the top, but they wouldn't tell me. Well, now it's coming out. And the FBI knows about it. Everybody, I mean, even they can't believe it. And so the FBI itself has provocateured before, has gone out and found patsies. They're not perfect. But this is being Justice Department run. This whole operation discredit the Patriot Movement, and is a separate group with think tanks running it. And so the system wants to get patriots fighting with the government right now to kind of overturn the chessboard and make everything violent instead of political, because they're losing. And so much is coming out. So I'm leaving. I'm going to get on an airplane right now to go. Literally first issue on my agenda was with this very prominent person was to try to de-escalate the situation. And now I'm going to be continuing to do that from the other front. But whether they do it through Black Lives Matter and the whole Soros-run system or provocateur patriot groups, we're sitting on top of time bomb. One of the only cards the globalists have to play is false flag or winding people up or causing an incident or provocateuring an incident. So this is a very serious time, people. They want to demonize the Liberty Movement. They'll do anything they can. The optics were wrong to demonize the Liberty Movement at the Bundy Ranch, because that was organic and came from the people and made Liberty look good. It was a big victory. But they've sworn to get back at us. And the Bundys have a lot of courage. I believe they're good men and women, and I admire their courage. But I think the strategy is wrong on what's going on here right now. I didn't say that a year and a half ago. I'm saying that now, because you can just see the angles of this. Now, pray to God and get involved and spread the word. Maybe things will de-escalate. And have cameras there on scene like we are to cover exactly what's happening. Because that's what this comes down to, is that we want to try to exhaust every peaceful means necessary before things get violent. And we sure don't want to fire the first shot or be seen taking over, you know, federal buildings so they can spin it. Even if that federal building's taking over the whole local area, and it's like the Sheriff of Nottingham, basically. Alex Jones for InfoWars.com, InfoWars.com/show for the free video and audio feeds. For the latest hardcore coverage on this from a true patriot point of view, InfoWars.com/show. Spread this link to everybody you know. We'll be doing live Oregon. Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com. If you're watching...
All right, that's Alex Jones giving you a breakdown. He's going to be back later on in the program talking about this exact issue. And understand that what's going on here, if you haven't read the articles that Drudge has linked to, this is something that's been developing for a while. I learned about this and talked about it on the radio back at the beginning of November. So it's been going for a couple of months. One of the reasons I didn't get involved with this like I did in the previous Bundy Ranch standoff was because I sensed, and we could already see at that point in time that I was covering it, the people there, the people at the very center of this, the Hammonds, did not want to stand up and stand against this, outrageous injustice that's being done to them. And so I thought that this was going to not be a wise thing to do from a tactical, strategic standpoint. This has now turned into the people who are there have now taken over a federal facility. Just understand that what's going on. These are people who set fire to land that they leased from the government. They had grazing rights to that. They were doing management. That's not what the BLM is doing. The BLM is involved in stealing property from people and holding property that they don't have a constitutional right to hold. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're going to give you the background facts of this particular case as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. And, of course, as we've been talking about since the beginning of the program, there is a situation that's developing in Oregon. This has been developing for a while. This goes back to a couple of ranchers who set a couple of fires, one in 2001, one in 2006. One of them was set to control a wildfire that was coming onto their property. They set a backfire to stop that wildfire, and it was effective. It saved their ranch. It saved their home. The feds were very upset about that. And this looks to me, as I was looking at the background of this a couple of months ago, it looks like a vindictive operation by the BLM. But, of course, then there was another fire, and that was one that was to control the growth of invasive plants. That one was got out a little bit out of a hand, and it was about 125 acres that were burned. Now, that's about half of a percent of what they had leased from the federal government in terms of grazing rights. And, of course, the federal government, the Bureau of Land Management, doesn't really do management anymore. It just does regulation and confiscation. That's what's happening throughout the West. That's why this all began. Now, because this was such an egregious situation, these two individuals, one of them is in his 70s, the other's in his 40s, a father and son, they were charged with arson and terrorism. Now, understand, these are the same people who do not want the militia to stand guard for them and keep them from being sent back to jail. They are anything but terrorists. They were charged with arson and terrorism. They went to jail. I think the father went about 3 months. The son went about a year, and they were let out. That was what the judge had sentenced them to. That judge then retired. Another judge came in, and she wanted, or another attorney came in and appealed it to another judge, and they both agreed they wanted them to serve a longer period. They wanted them to serve at least 5 years total. So they're looking at being sent back to jail. Looks to me like double jeopardy. I don't know where these original sentences came from. It was clearly there was a judge who had some perspective in this. I don't know if this is a mandatory minimum situation. That is one of the many problems that we face in this country, the idea of mandatory minimums. Nevertheless, it is a great injustice. And these guys are anything but terrorists. They won't even stand up for their own rights. Understand what terrorism is. Terrorism is, by definition, the use of violence and intimidation in the pursuit of political aims. They weren't doing anything political when they tried to save their ranch from a wildfire, lighting a backfire. They weren't doing anything political when they were trying to get rid of invasive plants that were part of the grazing rights that they had paid for. Those are property rights, folks. You need to understand there's a lot of different types of property rights. You can have on the same piece of land, you can have grazing rights where you have the right to have your animals eat the grass there. Then on that same piece of land, you could have someone with mineral rights extracting something from underneath it. These are the types of things that people don't understand when they look at these rural issues that the Bundys face. There's also the issues of whether or not the government should have constitutionally turned over the land when these territories became states. There's a clear case, I believe, that they should have. But nevertheless, this is an incredible injustice that's being done to these people. The Bundys and many others in the militia groups came there and said, we will protect you if you want to not go to jail, if you want to resist this and contest this situation. But the Hammonds did not want to do that. They had a the people in the area did not want to push this into what they felt was a confrontation. I felt like the people who had come there who understood this issue, they were getting out ahead of the locals there. Even the Oregon Cattlemen's Association had said, this is totally outrageous. They were beginning to understand, I think, what was going on here. But before they really got on board to push back against these swarms of officers that are sent to harass our people and eat out their substance, as the Declaration of Independence said, before they really got on board with that, they got concerned that the militiamen were armed, and it looked like, in many people's opinion, they were trying to foment a conflict. I don't think that was the case. There might have been some people there who were trying to provoke things. We saw that happen at the Bundy Ranch as well. But be that as it may, after that didn't happen, after the Hammonds said, no, we're going to turn ourselves in, they're going to turn themselves in tomorrow. At that point, the Bundy brothers and some others went to a federal facility. They've taken that over, and they said they're going to stay there indefinitely. Now, we got this breaking news from Ross Elder about an hour ago. Drones over Malheur, that's the name of the facility where they have taken over that federal facility. He says, according to his sources that are there, he said the source would not describe the particular drones that are being employed, but he said that there were high-altitude surveillance platforms that had been sent there to monitor activity in that area and in the Wildlife Refuge office. He said these particular assets are high altitude, so they are invisible to the naked eye. Even at night, maybe you'll catch a glint of light or something if it catches the moon while it turns, but for the most part, they will never know that they're up there. He says as our conversation went deeper into probabilities and possibilities, the source made no effort to disguise his anxiety over a potential escalation on the ground. And when I asked what kind of response the militia could expect if they turned their guns toward government agents, the source chuckled a little and then grew more serious. He said, dude, these yahoos won't know what hit them. We already have snipers deployed in the area, but he said there was a lengthy pause. I urged him to continue. He said, well, that location is very remote. There is really no risk to non-combatants if this thing goes hot. A couple of missiles and the whole thing will be over. Now, that was given to me by Joe Biggs. He said he knows some of the people involved in this, and he trusts those sources. And I've got to say that if the federal government uses drone attacks on American citizens on soil here, that's going to be a civil war. That is going to be what a lot of people are looking for. And, of course, I believe that's precisely what the federal government would like to see happen. They have been preparing for a war against the people for a long time. They've been, as I said, harassing us, eating out our substance with these regulatory rules. Just look at some of the things that happened in the last couple of days as the new year broke. We've got drone purchasers overwhelming the FAA's site to register their drones because this is a new law that was put into effect by the FAA. So we have all these different bureaucratic agencies that just write their own laws. We don't have the Congress doing that anymore. We don't. Not only do we have taxation without representation, because these people come up with fines and fees and other things, they just like the FAA did it, or the FCC, or the EPA. They create their own fines. They tax us without representation. These are not elected people. They persist from administration to administration. That's why getting rid of Obama isn't going to get rid of this unless you've got a president who understands what the real problem is. So we have taxation without representation. We also have regulation without representation. They are regulating us to death. We've got drone operators who, people who had small half pound and up, did over 45,000 applications. They say that they think that it'll be about 500,000 drones purchased during the holidays. So you've got about 10% of the people who sheepishly went in and registered this. And I say sheepishly, it's a large fine that they're going to weigh against people. $27,500 if you don't register your half-pound drone and fly it and they catch you. And then they want to be punitive about it. And they can get very punitive, very vindictive. Just look at what's happening to the Hammonds in Oregon, being charged as terrorists because they tried to protect their property with a backdraft fire. You've got a Massachusetts judge telling a Catholic school they have to hire homosexuals. You've got a new ruling in New York City where they will fine you $250,000 if you offend a transgender woman or man in New York City. You know, Bruce Jenner, if you say something about him, you'll get $250,000 fine. 2015, a record year for federal regulations. And we're going to talk about that when we come back.
From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this January 3rd, 2016. We have armed militia, including the brothers of our Bundy brothers, the sons of Clive and Bundy at the Bundy Ranch, are occupying a Forest Reserve headquarters in Oregon, and they're calling U.S. patriots to arms. This is a story that we have up on Infowars.com. They point out that Clive and Bundy's three sons, about 150 militiamen, have occupied the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge headquarters to protest the pending imprisonment of two Oregon ranchers accused of arson, and I would say terrorism. RT did not put that in their story that we've included. They accused them of terrorism, not just arson. They accused them of terrorism. It was not deliberate destruction. It was something they'd used to control a backfire, to get rid of invasive species that were in the grazing area that they had purchased grazing rights to. There was no malice in this. There was no intent to use violence or intimidation for a political purpose. That's what terrorism is. And understand that when our government created the RICO statutes, they said, you know, we need the RICO statutes to deal with organized crime because they've got too good of lawyers, we can't get a conviction, so we need to be able to confiscate their assets before we find them guilty of a crime, and then we can get a conviction against them. And people said, yeah, that's okay. You're doing it against gangsters, okay? We're seeing the same type of thing happening now. People are laying down and saying, we're going to give the federal government carte blanche to do anything that they want to, violate our privacy, spy on us, act preemptively, take away people's property, take away their rights without a trial, without them knowing that they've been put on a secret list, without them being convicted, even charged. And we're going to do it because of, you know, terrorism. Well, how did that RICO thing work out for us? Well, it wasn't long before they were using that against abortion protesters. And now we can see this misuse, this abuse, this criminal use of the label terrorists. That's what's being done to these people in Oregon. And we had a lot of the Bundy brothers, as well as many people who were described, self-described as militiamen, going to that particular area in their defense because they are going to turn themselves into the federal government to go back to jail for a much longer period than they've already served. We had one judge who had some common sense. We had a jury that didn't have the common sense to not convict them. That's where jury nullification should have shut this thing down at the very beginning. If you have people who really think independently, who really understand what's going on, that's what you have a jury for. When you have an out-of-control government, whether it is local or state or federal, if you have a jury trial, that was why it was such a foundation to our liberties. If you have a jury trial and you have fully informed jurors who understand what is going on, they look at this and say, wait a minute, I know these guys. I can see what happened here. I know that they aren't arsonists. I know they're not terrorists. I'm not going to find them guilty. I'm not going to let you send them to prison. And I don't know if they had a lawyer who did some kind of a plea bargain with that judge, and now that judge is retired, you've got a prosecutor and an appeals judge who says, no, we're going to go for a full 5 years on these people, even after they've served their sentence and been out for a couple of years. It's absolutely criminal what is being done by the federal government. So I understand why people are there. What I don't understand is why they don't want to stand up for their rights. And I understand the frustration of the people who've shown up there. I understand the frustration of the Bundys. But I also see that this is something that is not going to go well. When you had situations in Ferguson and you had situations in the Oregon gold mine, people there, you had with the riots, you had store owners who asked Oath Keepers, said, we would like your protection. The police are not protecting us. We would like your protection from the rioters, and said, fine, we'll do that. We'll protect you. They were invited to do that. Out in Oregon at the gold mine, they said, again, it was the BLM acting in a very vindictive way, trying to revoke the property rights of these people had had since the 1870s. They said, we would like for you to come and guard us so that we have time to get due process in court. And so you had Oath Keepers and other militia showing up there to do exactly that, to get them to stand off because the sheriffs were not doing their jobs. But you have a situation here in Bern, Oregon, where the Hammond family is saying, no, we're just going to turn ourselves in. We don't want to do that. And you've also got a situation here where, as they've talked to the people in the area, they said, over half of the people here in this area who have jobs, it is now an economically depressed area. It used to be a much wealthier area, but the federal government, as they have in many areas, have used the BLM and the Fish and Wildlife Service to shut down people's ability to make a living off of the land. And so now at least half of the people work for the federal government if they've got jobs. If they don't have jobs, they're dependent on welfare from the federal government. So what we have is a reservation system, folks. This is what Russell Means said. He said, welcome to the reservation, white man. We have a situation out west where the government says that it owns all the land virtually, and then it creates all the jobs, and if you don't have a job, they will give you a handout. And what they have done is, by a slow, gradual process, they have put us on reservations just as they did the Indians after they attacked them and drove them off their lands over 100 years ago. It's exactly that same situation. That's why you need to understand what they did to the Indians. When we went back and we looked at the anniversary of Wounded Knee, and we talked about the different tactics that they're using. These are the tactics. This is what the welfare system is. It's a reservation system. And when they come in and say, we own everything, and we'll give you a job if you play ball nicely, if you want to work for us, that's when we become slaves, folks. And that's when we develop a slave mentality. Nevertheless, I feel like because these people in that area do not want to stand up, this is the wrong place to make that stand. I think it's a tactical mistake. I think it's a strategic mistake to do this the day before Obama is going to unleash some executive orders on gun control. I mean, wouldn't you want to, if you're going to be Obama and you're going to be doing gun control, wouldn't that be something that you would love to have happening in the background? That's why I believe, I don't think that the Bundys are agent provocateurs, but I think that there are some people there that are pushing this in that way. I saw that happening at the Bundy Ranch. They kept control of it there. But I think now maybe the provocateurs have gotten control of this particular situation. Let's go to a clip that we've got of Ammon Bundy talking about what their plans are, outlining their plans.
So we have basically taken over the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. And this will become a base place for patriots from all over the country to come and to be housed here and live here. And we're planning on staying here for several years. And while we're here, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be freeing these lands up and getting the ranchers back to ranching, getting the miners back to mining, getting the loggers back to logging, and where they can do it under the protection of the people and not be afraid of this tyranny that's been upon them. And what will happen is Harney County will begin to thrive again. And one time they were the wealthiest county in the state. Now they're the poorest county.
Yeah.
And we will reverse that in just a few years by freeing up their land and resources. And we're doing this for the people. We're doing this so the people can have their lands and their resources back where they belong. And it's really that simple. But we're the point of the spear that's going to bring confidence and strength to the rest of the people. And we're calling people to come out here and stand. And it's really that simple. We have a place for you now. We have a place for you to come. We have a place for you to stay warm. We have food planned and prepared. We need you to bring your arms, and we need you to come to the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge.
Okay, well, what I would say to that is that you have to have a situation where people want their freedom. You know, there's an old saying, freedom cannot be given, it must be taken. You have to have people who want it badly. And I don't think that the people in that area, as I said before, are really standing there. If you're going to make a stand, you need to make a stand somewhere where the community is with you. That's what worked at the Bundy Ranch. You had neighbor standing with neighbor saying, we are tired of you stealing our land. We are tired of you coming in here and attacking people with SWAT teams, with police dogs, with tasers. We're not going to stand for that. There was a guy, Lavoy Finicum, he came over from Arizona, and he said, yeah, we rode over on our horses because you're not going to shoot a man with a taser off of a 2,000-pound animal. You're going to have to shoot him with a rifle. They were willing to stand up and take the backs of their friends. And these people up there in Oregon really don't seem to be on board with this. That, to me, is the fundamental flaw with it. But when we come back, we're going to talk about the background, the constitutional background. What are the real issues involved in this? Because the mainstream media is only going to focus on the stand down issue, on the guns pointed back and forth. We'll be right back.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight on this Sunday, January the 3rd, 2016. I want to get back to the situation in Oregon, give you some more background on it. But before I do, I just want to let you know that we still have the special for Prison Planet TV. That's the one-year subscription special. You get that for half off, 6 months. We've never done more than 5 months for free. This year, we're doing 6 months for free when you sign up for an annual subscription. That's only 10 cents a day. With that gets you our nightly news broadcast as it happens in HD. Of course, you can stream that on Roku or Boxy, as well as stream it on any of your computers or handheld devices. It also gives you access to all of Alex Jones's documentaries, all of the books that we have online that we have put there. It's a great resource tool, a great way to wake people up, and that, I believe, is what we really need to do. We need to make sure that we don't get out ahead of other people as we see this happening here in Oregon. We need to make sure that people understand what is happening to them, see the injustice, and then there are other ways that we can do this other than an armed standoff. That's what concerns me about this. I was there at the Bundy Ranch. I thought everything that happened was done very wisely in that particular case. I thought that Clive and Bundy moved to get the cattle back. He had a very concrete, attainable goal that could be done in a period of time there. It did create a standoff. I was there down on the ground with everybody as we were walking up to the gates where they were holding the cattle behind that area. At the same time, you had the BLM and federal officials were pointing guns at us and telling us as we accumulated down there under the overpasses that they would shoot to kill if we did not go. They said, we have a court order and we will shoot. And people didn't care because we're tired of seeing them treat people the way they are. We had neighbor with neighbor standing up saying, we're not going to go. We're going to get the cattle back or we're going to be cattle. It was a very powerful moment. I think it was the right thing to do. I think it was handled well, but when I look at this and their goals saying that they're going to stay here for years in an area where they are not really supported, where the people don't really want to stand up for their freedom. They say they're going to hang out there for years and it's going to be a gathering place for people to begin to take back their rights. I don't think that's going to work. I think it's a bad strategy. I think it is a bad tactic. I think it's going to really play into Obama's hands. That's why I'm concerned that there is some provocateuring going on here with people who have got their ear. Now, going back to this case, understand that one of these ranchers at 73, they say he feels that his upcoming prison term is going to be a life sentence. They're going to send them back to jail, even though they've already served time for things that I think were clearly not charges they should have been convicted of. It was not arson. It was certainly not terrorism. These people don't have the political agenda here, Hammond family. He says, it just seems a little overreach for having burned 127 acres. The 73-year-old man says, they're going to send me back to jail for 4 to 5 years. It seems like a little bit of overreach for having burned 127 acres because this was not something he did deliberately. That's the kind of mild-mannered, understated people these are. But, you know, to say that it is a little bit of an overreach, I think, is really missing the point. It is far worse than that. They say, of course, that they burned had a control burn that got out of control. They were trying to stop invasive plants from growing onto their land as well as the land that they had purchased grazing rights for. And when you look at 127 acres, that is out of 26,420 acres that they had contracted for grazing. That is less than one half of 1% of that land that was burned. Okay, and they want to call them terrorists and arsonists and send them back to jail. Now, on the Bundy side, Emmett Bundy said, we have obtained appalling evidence that the U.S. Attorney's Office threatened the Hammond family with early detention and further punishment if the Hammond family continued to communicate with a certain individual. He says, in public, they haven't asked for our help, but in private, we're still needed. I talked to Dwight Hammond for probably close to an hour. His conclusion is basically, I do not want to be shot in the head. He had fear that if he actually rejected what was going on and stood up for the abuse and what was happening here, there would be somebody who would actually kill him. Fear, he says, is what their problem is. And I understand that. And I understand the courage of the Bundys. I saw it firsthand. I know they're upset about the sheriff there. As I point out, Clive and Bundy is saying the sheriff has a duty to protect life, liberty, and property of his citizens. And I believe he has failed totally here. And I agree. I think the sheriff should have stopped this overreach by these federal agents who clearly are on a vendetta against this family. But they go on to say that even Bundy is unsure of whether or not the protest is a good idea. Clive and Bundy said, I don't quite understand how much what they're trying to accomplish. He says, I think of it this way. What business does the Bundy family have in Harney County, Oregon? He says that if the people there don't want to stand up, he goes on to say, if the Hammonds won't stand up for their rights, if the sheriff and the county commissioners won't stand up for their rights, if the people who are there as protesters, as patriots, they don't have anybody to fight. And so that's what we were seeing. And that's what I saw going back to, as I pointed out, back into November when I first started covering this story. And I thought, there really isn't anybody to stand up to if they don't want to do anything. If they don't want to protect the Hammonds, if the Hammonds don't want to protect and stand up for their own rights, what do you do? Well, they went there anyway. They had some protests, and then they took over a federal facility. And now they're saying that they're going to stay there indefinitely. They're going to create a rallying point. They say they may stay there for years. I don't see that happening. I'm not really sure what's going to happen at this point, but I don't think it's going to work out well for them. I don't think it's going to work out well for all of us who are trying to get control of the government. I think it's a bad tactic, a bad strategy. But let me give you the background that the mainstream media is not going to give you in this. Let me tell you why the ranchers are concerned about this. Of course, there is Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century that came out of the United Nations. And just like this recent climate treaty that they signed, what they do at the United Nations is they come up with step-by-step blueprints. They did it with the war on drugs. They created a very detailed schedule for the war on drugs. You know, drugs are broken down into four different schedules. Schedule one drugs are drugs that they say have absolutely no medical value, and they amazingly put marijuana into a schedule one drug. So they say schedule one drugs are the ones that they're going to control most closely. That whole war on drugs scheduling agenda, if you will, was created by the United Nations in 1961, and then it was implemented into U.S. law by Richard Nixon 10 years later in 1971 as he declared the war on drugs. We've seen the same thing happening with Agenda 21. They created this agenda. They had all the different steps that they would like for local communities to do, and now we're seeing that implemented community by community. It's called sustainability legislation, and they have their own little RAND Corporation meetings where they try to make it look like this is the decision of the community. But what they're doing is they're working off a United Nations agenda, just like the war on drugs is. And now they have, as of this September, they've created Agenda 2030, which is putting more details to it and giving it a time frame. And the point behind Agenda 21 is not about sustainable development. It is about getting people off of the land and forcing us into concentrated cities. You can look at the map for Agenda 21 and you can see precisely what they want to do. This is what's behind all of these trendy pushes for 200 square foot homes in New York and other towns that are more expensive than a home would be in the rest of the country. That is all part of Agenda 21. They want to close the vast area of America and force everybody into these tightly controlled reservations that we call urban areas, that we call cities. It really is a reservation system that they're trying to set up here. So clearly that is one aspect behind it. But you also have the out of control bureaucracies that are creating their own fiefdoms, bureaucracies that do criminal acts and get away with it. Remember, it wasn't that long ago that we had the BLM, very same agency that's involved here. They were involved in the criminal, illegal slaughter of horses. They were selling them to an individual. They were giving him these horses to him for less than it costs for them to transport the horses to him. So there were allegations of corruption as well. But even after they were told that this was going on, that these horses were being slaughtered, they continued to do it. That is an illegal act. And of course, we've had Viggo Mortensen on talking about the project to try to save wild horses. This is something that is not new. It's something that is well known and well understood. And even when the BLM was told and shown that they were violating the law, they continued to do it. Nobody in the BLM is charged with anything. And even though they're giving this massive crony capitalist subsidy to this guy, which invites suspicions of massive corruption, nothing happened to anybody there. We've seen what the EPA did. We've had SWAT team raids on an Alaska gold mine back in 2013. We reported that here at InfoWars. We saw just recently how they tried to shut down an Oregon mining operation. We saw what the EPA did with a deliberate explosion of a gold mine that put out toxic waste throughout three states and an Indian reservation. This is what we're up against. An agency that operates with criminal immunity and then goes overboard and charges ranchers as terrorists. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to be going to Alex Jones in the next segment with a wrap-up for 2015. And I'm going to break down the constitutional issues about what's going on with the BLM across the country. But before we do, I just want to go back and take a look at what happened this last New Year celebration. As I point out, Happy New Fear, because that's what they were pushing with everybody. They want you to be so afraid of everything that you will turn over all of your freedoms, all of your rights. You will destroy the Constitution so that they can presumably protect you from terrorists. And, of course, who's a terrorist? Anybody they say is a terrorist. We saw 6,000 police in Times Square. I reported on that in the last hour. But, of course, we've also got in many communities, like here in Austin, we have police doing a no-refusal DWI enforcement initiative. In other words, they can pull you over and demand that you give blood to prove to them that you are not intoxicated. How's that? We've had many situations where people who are not intoxicated have been forced to have their blood drawn. We've reported on that many times. Well, that's going on right now from December 18th. It's going to end today in Austin. As of this last Monday, 127 people had already been taken into custody, with 48 choosing to take a breathalyzer test, 14 consenting to a blood draw. As many as 65 people did refuse to consent, however, and they had their blood forcibly taken. That's the kind of country that we now live in. And, of course, it's not just Austin. It's not just Texas. They're also doing this in Tennessee. The State Highway Patrol is going to be doing that until January the 4th, until tomorrow. They'll be having a no-refusal traffic safety point. How about that? No refusal. Sounds kind of like our no informed consent on vaccinations, right? They can inject anything that they wish into you without your informed consent. They can draw blood from you without your informed consent. You can't refuse. See, we're nothing but slaves as far as they're concerned. Meanwhile, what's happening at the border? Well, we've got one of Brownsville's southernmost property owners says that he's fed up with all the drugs crossing over his land. This is something that was on the Drudge Report. He says the amount of drugs coming through is phenomenal. He said they're just come over the fence. They just climb right over the fence. That's why I have said that building a wall is not going to stop this. You have to stop the war on drugs. The war on drugs is what's creating this kind of demand, as well as the welfare state that is pulling people in. As long as you've got the welfare state pulling people in like a magnet, and as long as you've got a thriving black market that is created by prohibition, we saw this all happen with alcohol prohibition. Why could we not learn from that? Even the current drug czar says that it is a failure, and yet he will not stop any of this. Amazingly, you know, we're looking at these no-refusal blood draws. The current drug czar was an alcoholic. It had multiple DUI arrests, multiple car crashes while he was drunk, and he got over that through treatment. And he says that's really what we need to be focusing on rather than law enforcement. And yet, he's not stopping what he calls a failed policy. And quite frankly, what he is doing as a drug czar is far more dangerous to the public than what he could do as a perpetual drunk driver. He could not kill and damage people anywhere close to what he's doing as a drug czar over this massive, unconstitutional war on drugs. The new year is bringing some new laws. In California, they can now seize your guns from law-abiding citizens without charging you, without giving you any notice. They can hold those firearms for 21 days. But, of course, here in Texas, our governor and others have put in a new open carry law that took effect on January the 1st. And we even had our governor, Abbott, tweet out to Obama, if you're going to do gun control by executive order, he tweeted out, come and take it. The other thing that I liked about what he said was on Twitter, he says, I'm embarrassed. Texas is number two in the nation for new gun purchases behind California. He says, let's pick up the pace, Texans. That's the kind of governor we've got. That's where we can win. We need to do this with state nullification. We need to do this with jury nullification. Let's try the peaceful things before we start the civil war. That's what we're saying about this. Now, when we come back, Alex Jones is going to be breaking down what happened in 2015 and where we're going in 2016. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
He aligns himself with the truth. And it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
My love is in league with the freeway. Its fashion will rise as the cities fly by.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight. We're going to go to Alex's take on 2015 ending and what we can expect to see in 2016. Of course, we are being told that Obama is going to make his move for executive order gun control. He's going to announce that tomorrow. The thing we're all concerned about is now the backdrop of what is going on in Oregon. But we had some gun news this weekend. As I pointed out in the last segment, there's a new law in California that's going to let the police now confiscate guns from Californians without giving them any notice, without charging them with anything, and keeping those firearms for 21 days. On the other hand, here in Texas, we just had open carry become legal for people who have concealed carry licenses. It's still a long ways from constitutional carry, but it is an important step forward. And we have a governor, I think, that is moving us in the right direction. Meanwhile, in Switzerland, we have gun sales surging as the chief of the Swiss Army warns them to arm themselves, specifically talking about the migration of individuals into Europe being an issue. They've had the number of gun permits in Switzerland increased by 20% between 2014 and 2015. They say the greatest increase, more than 70%, was measured in the canton that was close to the border with France. Now, in Chicago, even the police are having their guns taken away from them. Think about this. Places like California, places like Chicago, where the gun violence is the worst, people, or even the police, are not allowed to protect themselves. They're being told that in case there is something happening at the airport, the aviation police need to run and hide. That's the advice for them. They say hundreds of police officers at the one of the country's busiest airports say that in case of an active shooter, they are instructed to run and hide because these officers are unique amongst the nation's major airports and that they don't carry guns in Chicago. Yes, the police officers at the airport in Chicago are not allowed to carry guns. They have badges, they have uniforms, they have vehicles that say police, and they are certified police officers in the state of Illinois. Yet these 300 aviation police officers, also known as aviation security officers, are not allowed to carry guns in Chicago. That is the fear that is engendered in people, the counterproductive way to approach this. Now, I want to go to Alex Jones's report. He's talking about what's going on in Oregon as well as other things that are coming online in 2016. Here's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here with a special live report on Facebook mentions on this Sunday, the third day of January 2016. We'll be on the radio today, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, live, myself and David Knight, breaking all of this down. As you know, many of you, it has just broken that a, quote, armed group has taken over a federal building on supposed federal land in Oregon. This is heavily disputed land because the feds have been expanding these, quote, refuges, even outside of court orders or laws, all over the country. They have been declaring that mines can't operate in the area, that ranchers and farmers can't operate in the area, who've had grazing rights, in some cases, over 100 years. The public is ignorant, generally, because they're not involved in farming or ranching or mining anymore, that if you come, quote, stake a claim under federal and state law going back over 200 years in this country and then operate, say, cattle on federal land and then produce and sell those cattle, that you get the rights to the surface. And that's what the Bundys down in Nevada had. We had that historic event last year where the feds had penned up all their cattle. They were going to let them all die. They'd run out the other 35 families that had been there since 1878. And the Bundys, with hundreds of citizens, well, more like 1,000 citizens, marched as the feds threatened to shoot them and came across the line. The feds backed off. It was historic. This situation, though, is very, very complex because there's the timing that's involved. We've got Obama set tomorrow to announce restrictions via executive orders, a power grab, of the Second Amendment. We've got the fact that we don't know who this militia group is. They may be good, they may be great, they may be infiltrated. We don't know. With provocateurs. But a militia group with some of the Bundy sons has gone into this wildlife refuge headquarters as of last night, taken it over. They said they plan to be there for years. We have their announcements on Infowars.com, breaking all this down in a big article. And that it's going to be a center for patriots from around the country to come there to have this big civil disobedience stand to say that we're done with the feds grabbing property. Even the governor of Texas is suing the feds right now up on the Red River, where they're taking tens of thousands of acres. Every few months, they announce new pieces of people's property that they free and clear own and have houses on. In one case, they've had a house on it for over 80 years. I mean, it's their property. They've paid property taxes on it. And the feds are just announcing that they're redrawing the lines of the Red River and grabbing thousands of acres on both sides of it. I mean, hundreds of square miles total. So it's just crazy. So how do you respond to lawlessness when the federal government is lawless, when the federal government just does whatever it wants and just grabs property outside of law and shuts down power plants and comes after guns and orders the ICE department for 2 years to just bring the illegals in, to give them vouchers? They let airplanes land from Mexico at JFK a month ago and just let everybody off. They don't even check their passports or IDs. That's lawlessness. So when you have a lawless government, our founding fathers did what the Bundys and others are now doing. They went and took over ships. They dumped tea in the harbor. They tarred and feathered British officials. And then the British came to confiscate guns, and 1776 happened, the shot around the world. I want to be clear. This is a complex issue. I understand the perspective of some of these locals and the militia and the Bundys. And I think they're brave people. But my gut tells me this is not the right timing. My gut tells me that they've been infiltrated probably with provocateurs. And this isn't going to go, in my gut, this isn't going to go as well as things went last year at the Bundy Ranch with the historical footage that David Knight and Josh Owens got of the feds standing down and backing off. Because that was their land. They could speak for it. There were over 1,000 people there on horseback with American flags. It was like John Wayne had come back from the dead. The optics were wrong for the feds. They had to back off. Now it's a federal building on federal land. Even if the feds have our land in stewardship, even if they're grabbing land around it, even if their folks are cutting trees and putting burn lines in so their farms don't burn, they call that arson. They're persecuting people. I get all that. But the optics on this with a federal building itself to the general public sounds like they're terrorists, basically. I'm not saying that, but that's how it's going to be pushed. And this feeds into the narrative put out last year by outgoing Nevada Senator Harry Reid when he said, these aren't patriots, these are terrorists. So I've got a bunch of issues here. You've got the timing. You've got the fact that the feds basically are doing the same thing on a wider scale that they're accusing the Bundys of doing. We now have the Oregon ranchers who have been criminally charged for doing fire burns. We now have them coming out saying that the Bundy Ranch family basically don't speak for them. And so this situation is deteriorating rapidly. I'm going to send Joe Biggs out there. He wants to go. David Knight is co-hosting today and tomorrow because I'm going to Arizona to do a huge interview. We had, of course, Donald Trump, Matt Drudge recently. It's another big interview. And we've got an even bigger one than that coming up as well in the next month. I may end up hopping on a plane tomorrow night after this interview is done and going on to Oregon. But, again, I admire the Bundys. I think they're for real. Some of the people around them and the folks that have been involved have been proven to be provocateurs before. I want to de-escalate this. I don't want to see a new Waco, a new Ruby Ridge, and then a revolution of physical violence kicks off right when the feds...
Okay, that's Alex Jones. That was pre-recorded earlier. As he pointed out, he is going to be traveling, and we're going to have the rest of that report that he filed before he left. He is currently traveling at the moment. That's why I'm here. I'm David Knight, the host today. We're going to have the rest of what Alex had to say right after the break. Stay with us.
We have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You still think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center?
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host today. And of course, we see the government moving against our people, harassing us, eating out our substance in many, many different ways. And of course, the latest example of this is what is coming to a head right now in Oregon. We have a couple of ranchers who are going to be sent to jail for a second time for something that clearly was not just in the first place. They're not terrorists. They had a fire that got out of hand, burned 125 acres. It was to control invasive species, partly on their land, partly on government land that they had grazing rights to. This is 120 acres out of about 26,000 acres. A very, very small amount. But, of course, they were tried and convicted as terrorists. The judge at the time had the good judgment to not give them more than a couple of months in jail. But now we have some federal prosecutors and judges who want to get vindictive about this. They want to send them back to jail. So many people who were concerned about this abuse by the BLM, as we've seen in many areas of the country over and over again, understand that this is part of a larger problem, went to the area. Nevertheless, the people who are going to be going back to jail did not want them to stand with them, did not want to have a standoff, so they're going to go back to jail. The people who were there to protect them have now taken control of a federal facility. Alex is very concerned about this escalation. He is traveling right now, and he's going to have a big interview he's going to announce tomorrow, but right now he's traveling. He recorded this before he left. This is his concerns about what's going on in Oregon, his concerns about the escalation. Here's Alex Jones.
I want to de-escalate this. I don't want to see a new Waco, a new Ruby Ridge, and then a revolution of physical violence kicks off right when the feds want it to happen, when we're having so many victories politically, so many victories as Obama power grabs. Congress is being forced to stand up against him. There's all the investigations. His approval ratings are so low. Hillary could be indicted any minute. Donald Trump is surging. The states are standing up and lining up against the globalist interest. This is UN. This is Agenda 21, where they come in with zoning and regulations from UNESCO and the UN, and then start expanding the national parks and the wildlife refuges. Oregon's like 69% federal, another 15% or so is state. I mean, there's less than 20% of you to add it up in Oregon that's privately owned. Nevada, it's like 90% is federally owned, and 4 or 5% state. There's like 4 or 5% that's privately owned. The feds are out of control. And they're kicking ranchers, they're kicking farmers off all over the country. They're harassing Amish. They're the bad guys. It's illegitimate. It's just like the UN goes into Latin America or Africa or Asia and kicks people off their property. It's terrible. This is out of control. We followed for a year what's happening in Oregon. The farmers and ranchers have the surface rights. They've been there for decades and decades, some families over 100 years. What the feds are doing is wrong. And I know people are fed up. They're seeing a criminal power grab. It's illegitimate. The courts won't do the right thing. What do? It takes a lot of courage. And I tend to think that the Bundys are a lot more George Washington / Thomas Jefferson than they are, you know, misguided bad guys. But again, the optics, the visuals on this are not good. So continuing, folks, I'm concerned about infiltrators. I personally have gone to cover military drills. I covered my film Police State 2, The Takeover. And Mike Hansen was a witness to it. A lot of it we caught on footage. And I'm not against the military. This is what they were ordered to do. They put infiltrators in who started trying to set fires, one in particular, and literally trying to blame us for arson. I had to physically restrain this guy to stop it. They told locals don't talk to us and that we were basically criminals and stuff. Where our hotel room got broken into. One time we were covering Delta Force down in San Antonio and the Army pulled guns on us and took our footage. This gets really, really dangerous, is the point I'm making. And it's escalating. And if we were losing the info war, I would be more desperate and say, well, I can see how, you know, occupations like this can draw attention, kind of like the occupation at Wounded Knee with Russell Means and the rest of it. But that didn't go well either. And I get people's points. I understand the American Indian movement's concerns. I understand the land rights movement's concerns. But I'm a smart guy. I mean, I think I've proven I make good predictions, common sense analysis. And the type of civil disobedience I want to see is what we did with the land commissioner, Jerry Patterson, and Stuart Rhodes, of Oath Keepers, and over 1,500 other people last year when we went down to San Antonio where the police said you can't have open carry of rifles. Well, the state law says we could, and the state law trumps local law. And so over 1,000 people carried guns, rifles, had them properly, you know, aimed down, everything on our backs, gave great speeches, pointed it out. Now they've changed the law and are leaving people alone to a great extent in San Antonio. That was a law that was unconstitutional. They were threatening to arrest us, but we still went there and did it because we were just taking back the Alamo, taking back Texas. We were just simply there exercising our individual right. We were not going in and taking over a federal building. Sure, it's a federal power grab. Sure, they don't own that land. Sure, taxpayer money paid for that building. It's the people's building. I get the Bundy's view and perspective. But to the general public, now it's armed group in there, and we're going to hear the quotes from people out there like Harry Reid saying, see, I told you these Bundys are terrorists. And it kind of takes a big victory we had with the Bundy Ranch last year that they didn't know how to respond to because of the optics and does this. So here's the situation. Armed protesters take over wildlife refuge building in Oregon. Militia takes over National Wildlife Refuge headquarters. Oregon ranchers reject Cliven Bundy family occupation. And I'm going to call Cliven Bundy right now and try to get these guys on the show today. Obviously, I'm going to get our producers working on that. But militia occupies federal wildlife refugees in Oregon, vows to stay. So there's 500 articles so far, 528 articles, show folks right here, on this situation as we speak. So again, I would just ask folks to pray for restraint on both sides. I happen to know that a lot of the feds that are going to be called in to deal with this are actually awake to what's happening. I was set to shoot a video this morning on the fact that we have so many contacts inside the Secret Service. And the reason the agency's quoting scandal, and the reason they're always using a few bad apples to demonize it, is because they know how bad Obama is. And it's not just Bongino, the former head of Obama's foreign details we've interviewed. And he didn't say anything secret. He just said, it's worse than I say on air. It's worse than you know, Alex. Over the years, I've had a chance to talk to a lot of Secret Service people and talk to other prominent people that know him. And ladies and gentlemen, I can now report to you that it's true, that I was wrong in the past when I said that this was a rumor, a conspiracy theory. It is true. President Obama is a radical Muslim. It actually does basically pray to Mecca 5 times a day inside the White House. I'm not against Muslims in general, but whether it's a PSYOP or whatever, the Secret Service are saying, no, he is a radical Muslim. He is in there.
All right, that's Alex Jones. That was pre-recorded earlier today. He is traveling. He's got a big interview he's going to announce tomorrow. We're going to be right back with more of what Alex Jones was saying in terms of Obama, in terms of what's going on in Oregon. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, your host live. We have a pre-recorded message from Alex Jones we've been playing. And of course, before we go back to that, we had over the weekend, just as the new year rolled around, the Saudis executed 47 people. Many of them just political dissenters. One of them, a prominent Shiite cleric. And the response was that Iranians stormed the Saudi embassy and set it on fire. So here in the United States, we have a pushback against the moves by our out-of-control government that labels people as terrorists unjustly here. Now they have taken over a building in Oregon, and Alex has been talking about that, and now he is going to move on to what he's been told about Obama. Some breaking news. Let's go back to Alex Jones.
Also, Michelle Obama and Obama treat the Secret Service like you would treat a child molester. I mean, they just yell at them and tell them they're stupid and get my bags, you stupid. You know, just and they're just it is just over the top. And again, I mean, I've got so many sources, obviously, and it's true. These are deviant people, folks. These are deviant people. What's the most deviant thing you can do? Be a radical jihadi inside the White House. I mean, look at what he does funding Al-Qaeda and funding ISIS. And thank God Donald Trump has now come out and pointed all of this out. It's up on Infowars.com. He's saying Obama and Hillary created ISIS. So live now, armed protesters take over Oregon Federal Building. Iran deal, so bad it's suspicious. Of course it is. And then there's another one. Trump, Obama, and Hillary created ISIS. So remember, I was telling you this 4 years ago, that they created their latest Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, now ISIS groups in the last 2 years. And so here it is, Trump now going public. We're winning in the info war. We do not need an armed standoff with the armed feds that are going to come out there. Most of them are veterans. Most of them are military. These are not the weird Justice Department lawyers. You know, at Waco, almost all lawyers at that time who were wannabe badasses, most of them weren't even veterans. They were socialists. They wanted to go show, you know, some right-wing, quote, cult, you know, who was boss, to set the precedent to crush everybody. And that turned into a huge fiasco. And you're saying, well, good, let it be a new fiasco. Let a new 1776 start. We don't want it to start at a federal building out in Oregon. We want to keep winning in the info war and try to not have a shooting war. This country's not made up of the same people we were in 1776. I'm sorry. Now, we'll end up winning a civil war if it kicks off. But I'm telling you people, what have I been harping on? What did I shoot a video on yesterday? They want to start a civil war in this country and bring in martial law. We already have a form of martial law with the checkpoints and the NSA and the open borders and the president shutting down whatever he wants. That's martial law when the president does whatever he wants. People keep saying martial law is like something out of, you know, a science fiction movie or whatever, where there's checkpoints on every street. No. Martial law just means regular law is suspended. The civil emergencies are in place. All of Europe's basically under a civil emergency because the radical Muslims they brought in. Now they're bringing them in here. And when they start attacking folks, they're going to bring in a civil emergency. They're already blaming the Second Amendment right now for the terrorist attacks launched by radical Muslims. They're coming after our guns tomorrow. Obama's going to go public tomorrow with the background of an armed standoff. And notice the feds keep saying, we don't need to take the guns. We don't need Homeland Security for Muslims. They're not the issue, radical Muslims. It's for the patriots they're about to attack. And then they push and they push and they defund veterans. And they are pushing all over the country, just going, oh, you've had your land for over 100 years on the Red River? We're just taking it. This is land owned outright by families. So, yes, they're pushing. Yes, they're arrested 15 people and charged them with terrorism for flying rebel flags in Alabama. Yes, or was it Georgia? Yes, they're pushing. We don't need to respond to the bait because we're cleaning their clocks in the info war. And we don't need a civil war kicking off, especially pointed at just the special tactics feds they're going to send in. I mean, that's not going to hurt the New World Order at all if they get killed. That's going to make a bunch of martyrs here, people. There's a reason they haven't killed me. They don't want to make me a martyr for the patriots. We don't want to make them martyrs. We want to de-escalate. People say, oh, it's, you're a wimp. Let's get this war going. Almost everybody out there shooting their mouths off for years on my website, in the comments, everywhere, turned out to be feds. Remember Hal Turner? He used to attack me every week, saying I was a coward and this and that, and, you know, work for Israel, all this bull. Turned out he was a fed. Came out in federal court in Chicago. And they put him in jail, their own person. Don't be part of this, folks. Whoever shoots first loses. And the British fired first at Bunker Hill, at Lexington, at Concord. And so we're going to be covering this. If this continues to escalate, again, I have a huge interview tomorrow. I'm flying out to Phoenix today. I have a huge interview tomorrow. I'm just probably going to have to go out there. And I'll be a major target because you know there's going to be operatives and disinfo people and feds out there. And I'm kind of a general in the fight, obviously, so I try to not put myself right where they're at. But I'd go places without security, obviously, but at a certain point I got to think smart here. But Joe Biggs wants to go. He's definitely going. Regardless, I know David Knight's going to want to go because he covered the whole Bundy situation. The feds haven't surrounded the building yet. They haven't gotten their propaganda machine going yet. I would tell Cliven Bundy to tell his sons that are out there. I know your sons are of their own men. I'm going to call Cliven here in just a minute when I get a hold of him. But I would tell them that I think you've made your point, and I would just say, see, the feds just come with guns and take stuff over when it's not their land. This is our land. We did this to make a point, and you guys just clear out of there. Now, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm not telling you that I'm right. I'm just saying that's my gut. You need to just understand that you are walking into a trap, and maybe it'll turn out all right. Maybe you got God on your side. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not on a high horse. I admire your courage. I admire my reporter's courage, David Knight and Josh Owens, everybody else that was out there at the Bundy Ranch. But this is a serious situation. And I'm telling you, you know what? I've talked to the Bundys many times. They know they're surrounded by provocateurs, people stirring stuff up. And the timing of this with Obama tomorrow, it looks like the militia kind of, and I'm going from what the reports are saying, went in at the same time or first. We're not sure. I'm going to keep trying to research it. And do people get in emotion and get sucked in? Is there anybody in there hyping things up with the psychological situation? I don't know. I'll be doing live reports throughout the day covering this as it unfolds. But comment below on Infowars.com. I want your humet. I want your intel. I want to hear what you have to say here in this article. Under the video, Alex breaks down the militia groups and the Bundy family assembling to protect an Oregon rancher family. Now, see, even my folks posting this are just trying to be pro-militia, pro-Bundy. But I understand they had victory the one time, and praise God it was a miracle, and I hope that happens this time. It's just the timing of Obama with the guns. Tomorrow, they want to start a civil war. People are saying there's no video on this, and I think that's just folks' ignorance on the video feed. We'll see what happens. We'll see if this loads. Buckley, are we streaming right now?
Yep, it's live.
All right, it's live. Yep, it's live, folks. It's just wanting people to log in. And again, we're going to do YouTube live streams as well. Just YouTube's live stream hasn't worked as well. All right, we have the big high-tech news center in South Austin. I'm here in North Austin right now. And I'm about to head back down to the studio right now. And again, with David Knight and others, more reports will be filed as this unfolds. You are the humet. Track everything if you're on the ground. Start shooting video of everything, the cars, the people.
Again, that's Alex Jones. That was a message that was recorded earlier today. He's on his way to a big interview that's going to be announced tomorrow. When we come back, I'm going to go over the breakdown of this by Kurt Nimmo's excellent article saying that the media is going to portray this as crazed gun-toting militias, but we're going to take a look at the real underlying issue about what's going on here. What's going on with out-of-control bureaucracies as well as regulation without representation? That's the real story. That and the fact that these agencies can break the law with immunity while they trump up charges of terrorism to send people to jail. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We are on the march. The empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I'm
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. In this last segment, we're going to break down what is really the underlying issue in Oregon, the one that the mainstream media is not going to talk about as they descend on that area. That's why we're going there, and we've got an article on Infowars.com from Kurt Nimmo. Oregon occupation is about unconstitutional federal land grab. But, of course, the corporate media is going to portray it as crazed gun-toting militias. And before we go to that, I just want to let you know we haven't talked about any of the specials that we have at InfoWars. Of course, that's what helps to keep our operation moving here. We have a InfoWars Life Resolution Pack. You can make 2016 count. You can get the new InfoWars Life Resolution Pack and transform your health this year. You can get Survival Shield X2, Nascent Iodine, the all-in-one cleansing formula Deep Cleanse, and Secret 12, that's vitamin B12, for the lowest price ever. This year, we're helping you make your resolution a reality, giving you 15% off when you use a promo code 2016 at checkout. Again, visit InfoWarsLife.com. Make 2016 different with a resolution pack for 15% off when you use a promo code 2016. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Now, as I was pointing out earlier, what we have really is an army of out-of-control bureaucracies. One example of this is a study that was put out at the end of the year by the Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington. They said 2015 was a record-setting year for the Federal Register. They said there were 81,611 pages of new regulations that were put into the Federal Registry just last year. They said that it was higher than the 77,000 the previous year, higher than the previous record of 81,405 pages in 2010. 80,000 pages of new rules and regulations done by people that you did not vote for. Folks, this is out of control. And this isn't something that is just an issue with Obama. Of course, it is a big issue with Obama. And we have the House of Representatives has passed what's called the REINS Act, R-E-I-N-S Act, regulations from the executive and needs of scrutiny to do just that, to control these out-of-control regulations. They say the Senate, though, is not going to pass it. They're not going to force President Obama to veto it. And as one of the people talking about it in their blog said, if Congress isn't willing to force Obama to explain why the unelected should make laws, it must be because Republican Congress isn't willing to end over-delegation. Now, that's one way to put it. Now, it's not really over-delegation. What it really is an abdication of power. The legislature has abdicated its power to the executive branch and to the bureaucracies that are underneath it. We need to have somebody who understands what the real issue is. This is not something that's going to go away with Obama. This was something that was there, unfortunately, long before Obama. It's been done by Republicans and Democrats. That is why the Republican Senate doesn't want to challenge it. Now, you've got Rand Paul is actually the one who wrote and sponsored the REINS Act. And, of course, most of the regulations that are coming through this year are coming from the EPA. And the FCC. The EPA, of course, is doing its power play, trying to shut down coal, as well as taking over all water in the United States. Remember, we've got that case in Montana, a guy with 8 acres who's a welder. He built a pond on his property. They're fining him $37,000 a day. I mean, that's another big issue that's going on. That's winding its way through the courts. That's how out of control these regulatory agencies are. Then, of course, the FCC, which is just going to assert its control, its ownership of the internet using net neutrality. And it really isn't about net neutrality, folks. They've been on both sides of the net neutrality issue. This is about the FCC exerting its power over the content of the internet. That's why they're using this. The net neutrality is simply a beard. But let's go back to this situation with the BLM. As Kurt Nimmo points out, the corporate media is going to make this about the militia. It's going to make it about guns. And they're going to do this with the backdrop of Obama coming out and saying, we've got to control the violence. We've got to control these terrorists out here. They're going to portray them as terrorists. But understand what they're concerned about. That's what you really need to know. The federal government has claimed ownership of nearly 650 million acres of land, about 30% of the entire U.S. Okay? And he points out, but of course, in the Constitution, the federal government is restricted to establishing forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, other things like that, okay, in the Constitution. It doesn't reserve the right for the federal government to own land, okay? That was deliberate. They deliberately did that. Now, that's the way they did things back east when they created, when they turned a territory into a state, the land was distributed amongst the people that lived in that state. That's one of the reasons why they had minimum number of people, population requirements before it could become a state, because they didn't want all that land to end up in the hands of a few people. Well, guess what? It's in the hands of a few people right now. A few people call the BLM or the Interior Department. Once the Civil War happened, in many ways, they threw the Constitution out the window. And this was one of the many ways that they threw the Constitution out the window. They said, we're going to hang on to this land. We are not going to turn it over. And as Kurt Nimmo points out, even when the federal government was going to use it for constitutional purposes, like forts and arsenals and docks, they still had to purchase the land from the state. And, of course, they're not doing that anymore. Now, the Supreme Court weighed in on this in 1911. They said that the federal government could grab large tracts of land, national forests that were held in the public's interest. The current regime of federal land management, Kurt Nimmo writes, is blatantly unconstitutional. And that's a quote from the 10th Amendment Center, who says the founding fathers never intended to create a republic where the feds could impose draconian fees on peaceful individuals and force them from the land. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what the arrangement in the Constitution was written to prevent, okay? And understand that just because you have a Supreme Court decision in 1911, that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it law. It doesn't amend the Constitution. Recognize that in 1913, the second person to go to jail for the Espionage Act, and I've mentioned this many a time, was a film producer who did a film called The Spirit of 76. And in that film, he was recounting the American Revolution. And the villains were the British. The Woodrow Wilson administration wanted to go to World War I on the side of the British. So he very much resented the fact that the British were portrayed as villains. They told him to cut out certain parts of his film. He did it for one premiere, and then he put it back in when that was in Chicago. Then he put it back in when he premiered in L.A. They tried him and convicted him to 10 years in jail and $5,000 fine, which today would be about $500,000. Now, you have to understand that the Supreme Court said there is no First Amendment protection for movies, just like they said in the Dred Scott decision that slaves had to be returned to their masters in another state if they escaped. The Supreme Court has been on the wrong side of many issues. The Supreme Court has reversed itself on many issues. In the 1950s, they reversed that and said, no, movies do have First Amendment protection. So just because they come in and say that the Constitution doesn't mean what it clearly does mean, we can read the Constitution ourselves, that doesn't make it law. We need to get over the idea that the federal government, with the politically appointed judges, can rewrite the Constitution, or that these bureaucracies, which persist from administration to administration, who are on their own agenda to grow their bureaucracy like some kind of bureaucratic fiefdom, that they should be able to write the laws for us. Now, Kurt Nemo goes on to point out that since 1982, the federal government has leased oil for has had leases for oil and gas, drilling 229 million acres of public and private land in 12 western states. In other words, one of the federal government's largest sources of non-tax revenue comes from land that it leases to oil, gas, and coal companies. These corporations get stupendous deals from the government. And as we pointed out with the Bundy situation, Harry Reid and others were working on ways to take that land. They were saying, we're going to protect the desert tortoise. They were really going to turn that land over, as they did in many other areas that they confiscated from other ranchers, turn it over for big projects, for crony capitalist type projects where they're doing mining or where they're putting in massive solar farms. That's really what is driving this. Kurt Nemo goes on to point out the corporate media, however, will continue to minimize this angle. They will portray the occupation as an illegal act by gun-toting militias bent on an armed confrontation with the federal government. That's why I'm very, very concerned about this. I know exactly how this is going to be used. That's what Alex Jones was talking about. It's very bad timing. And let's understand that when the government says that they're going to send these guys to jail as terrorists because of this small fire, say you're arsonist and you're terrorist, what an amazing abuse of power that is. We need to understand that we have to stand up with state nullification. We have to stand up with the sheriffs, have to protect the people in their jurisdiction. And we as individuals, just one person in the jury trial, could have shut this whole thing down a long time ago if they would have stood on principle, if they understood what fully informed juries are about, what jury nullification is about. And I want to just point out to you, as we've seen the EPA, this was pointed out this last week, 185 people have been convicted and sentenced to 129 years in prison by the EPA. Yet what did they do this year? They basically, and of course, an investigation by the Department of Interior found that the EPA was solely to blame for the toxic contaminants that polluted hundreds of miles of river throughout three states. Why? So they could increase their bureaucracy. These are little empires that are preying upon the American people, and we have to stop it.